Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a fun hour for you today. And we're going to be starting off with a subject matter you may not think is usual for the Donna Sebo Show, and it isn't, but I loved it. So I couldn't pass up the opportunity to talk about pirates, Caribbean pirates. In fact, we are going to be talking to George Beam, and he's on the line with me now. He's in Atlanta, Georgia, a treasure chest of facts, fiction, and folklore. George, welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna.
It's a delight having you as a guest. Now, you've been on my show before because you've done things on Harry Potter and so many fascinating things that when I found out about Caribbean pirates, I thought, oh, my goodness. Now, what in the world is George going to have to say about Caribbean pirates? It was the last thing I would think that you would ever get involved with. But what an awesome book you have here. Just absolutely awesome.
Yes, run the question by again.
I said, whatever made you get into the Caribbean pirates, George?
Well, I I was sitting around with the artist of the book, Tim Kirk, and he and I were deciding what we wanted to work on next, and I told him that I had really enjoyed the Disney movies with the Johnny Depp and the Caribbean Pirates of the Caribbean, and, of course, Tim worked at Disney for 22 years, and he thought that was a great book idea. So I sat down and started researching what I could, and the thing that struck me was that most of the books that I found on the market were either very scholarly or they were just for kids, and there was nothing really that bridged the gap. And so I told Tim I wanted to do a book that would bridge the gap.
Now, he himself was very much involved, like you said, with the Imaginarium environment and was one of the Imagineers, wasn't he?
Well, he was a senior Imagineer. They are the people that are responsible for designing the theme parks, and he was there for 22 years in that capacity. But before he did that, he did dozens and dozens of illustrations for book covers and books. So this seemed like a perfect project for him, and he knew a lot about pirates, and he also contributed an introduction called Dread Pirate Timmy, or Yo-Ho-Ho in a Bottle of Ovaltine,
yes.
in which he talked about himself and his brother Steve, who was another Imagineer later in life, and they were talking about their great interest in pirates.
It was so much fun going through your book, and as a mature adult, you think, oh, a woman is going to be interested in reading this stuff? Actually, yes, because I have vivid memories of watching some of the old movies where there was the Errol Flynn and the Burt Lancaster and these various portrayals. And the old movies, I think, are some of the best because of the costumes and everything else. And I just love stuff like that. But there's so much misinformation out there. And you have, you know, an introduction about pirating, the sweet trade. But really, when you started off with that, you, as you just mentioned, you were wanting to give a lot of information. It's great for kids as well as for adults. It just opens up a whole wonderful, imagination, fantasy. But you get into a lot of the pirate fact and the fiction. And the first thing you start off with in your book is, was there such a thing as cursed Aztec gold? You got to share some of that with us. What was that all about?
Well, I should preface my comments and say that when we see movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, people that really aren't up on their history will see what's in the theater, and they will take that as gospel. And so they have to understand that when you go to a movie and it's popular culture, there's some things that are going to be based in fact, and there's some things that are going to be pure Hollywood. And that's why, you know, I wanted to do a book like this to make that distinction, to say, okay, we can have some fun with this, and let's talk about the popular culture, but let's also get to the facts of the matter and explain what pirates were really like. So in this case, I thought it would be good to start out with a discussion about, was there such a thing as cursed Aztec gold, because that was at the heart of the Disney movies, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what's interesting is that the Aztecs didn't value gold in the same way that we did. They valued it for ceremonial purposes.
Right.
And to them, they had no real value for it as currency, whereas, of course, the Spaniards had a great deal of interest in gold, which they wanted to ship back to Spain.
Well, you have that little bit of a story with Aztec gold. And for those of you just tuning in, we're talking about Caribbean pirates. My guest is George Beam, who has written a plethora of books, and his subject matter just is so unique and interesting. This book in particular is absolutely a delight to read, not just because of the illustrations which are done by Tim Kirk, and also Britton McDaniel is one of the artists that contributes to this, but there's a lot of wonderful information on pirate museums, activities, and we'll talk about that a little bit, because there's quite a following for various events throughout the country. And George has just done such a wonderful job of bringing together images, pictures, drawings. It's just wonderful. This is just absolutely a delight to look through, and I would think it'd make a great gift for someone that had everything, but also for a kid that maybe is, anybody over the age of 7, I think, would just be enthralled with it, especially the boys. Now, you have a character in here called Barbossa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the true facts about Barbossa, and there's a movie about the Curse of the Black Pearl. Tell us the difference. What's the fact and what's the fiction?
Yeah. Well, I'll get into that in a second. The other thing I wanted to add about the Aztec gold was that the Aztecs called gold, quote, the excrement of the gods, end quote.
Whoopee!
So, again, they had no real value for it in currency, but they had a great deal of ceremonial value that they attached to it. Barbossa, one of the questions that I asked, one of the questions that certainly will come up if you go to the Pirates of the Caribbean movies that Disney has put out, is that a central character is Captain Barbossa. He's the captain that actually gets the he engineers a mutiny and usurps Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow. And it is Captain Barbossa that comes back in the third movie and sails literally to the ends of the earth in an attempt to recover Jack from the jaws of death. Of course, the name sounds very piratey, and most people would say, well, you know, was there actually a pirate named Barbossa? And in truth, there really wasn't. The closest that I found was that there was two brothers who had terrorized the Mediterranean islands, and their last name was Barbarossa. The older brother had red hair, and they called him Redbeard. So that might be, you know, for instance, a connection to the pirate that we know is known as Blackbeard. That may be one reason why he's called Blackbeard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those guys may have been an inspiration for Disney's character, which is Captain Hector Barbossa.
And the Disney movie has been loved around the world by people that have viewed it. What are some of the statistics on the Disney movie Pirates of the Caribbean?
Well, that information I don't have at my fingertips because I'm traveling and on the road right now. But, the Disney movies, it's interesting that what they wanted to do is they wanted to come up with their own franchise and do it based on properties they had mm-hmm. within the theme parks. And so, for instance, they tried to do Haunted Mansion, and nothing that really didn't go anywhere. But Pirates really captured people's fancy, and they really hadn't planned on doing a second movie. They did a first one, and they were, frankly, caught off guard by the success of the movie. I think a lot of it has to do with the great appeal of Pirates, and a lot of it has to do with the great appeal of Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes,
but there's always been a great deal of interest in the notion of the romance of the open sea and the pirate as the outlaw who does his own thing and goes his own way and butts heads with the authorities, And so I think the movies and as well as books about pirates appeal a little bit to the pirate in all of us, to that sense of wanderlust that we have, where we want to buck the system and get away and just sail for the high seas.
Tell us about the Black Pearl. Was that a real ship? And if so, who did it belong to?
Well, the Black Pearl really is Disney magic and Disney fiction. I think it's a great name for a ship, but there's no historical record of any ship called the Black Pearl.
Now, in some of the research information you have, you talk about the ships of the time of the pirates and how they could be very seriously affected and even damaged from something so simple as a shipworm. But it's not a worm. What is a shipworm?
Well, for that, I will have to refresh my memory real quickly. The thing to keep in mind is that the ships of that day in the Caribbean sailed the waters that were extremely warm. And so the ships, because they were made out of wood, were very susceptible to rot. And one of the problems that they had was what's known as a shipworm really isn't a worm at all. It's a little creature that can actually eat wood, sort of like a termite. And the problem is that once it starts infesting the wood and eats the wood, then it literally can destroy the ship from the bottom up. So this is why they had to take the ships and whenever they could pull into a harbor or a bay away from the authorities, and they would literally beach the ship. And they had to beach it so they could clean the barnacles off and clean the stuff off the bottom of the ship to continue to make it seaworthy. Otherwise, once it starts taking on water, the ship can be destroyed. The worms themselves, they're called the shipworm, but they're actually part of the mollusk family. And you can mostly find them in warm waters. They range up to 18 inches in length. And they would bore into the wood, weaken it, and destroy it, sort of like a termite.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things that they had to do when they careened the ship, is put it on the side and check for these.
Well, that took a lot of romance out of the imagery that's done on film, because that's a lot of hard work. They had to do that quite frequently to be able to clean the ship bottom. Otherwise, they did have major problems because it was wood. Today, we have all kinds of different materials. It makes it a lot easier. But even today, ships still have to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to be taken care of. Otherwise, they do have major problems. And,
yeah, and the other problem, too, is that on the bottom of the ship, once it got encrusted with barnacles and once its integrity was breached, it was no longer seaworthy. But it also affected the speed. When you start having stuff like algae and barnacles hanging on the bottom of the ship, it reduced the speed. And, of course, speed was the principal means by which pirates escaped the authorities, because oftentimes the authorities had numerous ships in a fleet and a lot more guns than the pirates could muster. And so the pirates really tried to basically shoot and scoot. If they shot a warning shot across a bow, they did it not to disable the ship, but just to give them notice that they're pirates, and then they looted the ship and then left. And
mm-hmm.
Speed was really their best friend.
Mm. Well, there was also, according to your research, there was some kind of a code that was among pirates, and that was a surprise because there's so much romanticism around them. But what was unique about that when you were doing your research, George, regarding pirates and these agreements that they had?
Well, even pirates, people are surprised that there would be a code among pirates. You would think that because pirates operate in an environment of lawlessness, that they simply did whatever they wanted. That was true to some extent, but the thing is that when you're on your own ship, you've got to have some rules to live by. And every ship's captain had their own set of rules. And if you were to break the rules, you would be punished accordingly. And this is actually where Disney got the inspiration to have, you know, their articles for the Black Pearl, which differed somewhat. And of course, in the Disney movie, we're told that the articles were more like guidelines, but in fact, this was really a form of local law. And if you broke the rules, it basically meant that you had done something to endanger the crew, or you've done something to put the ship in jeopardy. And that being the case, you had to suffer the punishment. So pirates could be pretty ruthless when they needed to, with civilians and with people that they captured, but they were also pretty ruthless among themselves.
That, I think, many people would not be surprised at, that they'd be ruthless among themselves. Now, we're talking about a period of history that, again, has been very romanticized by Hollywood on more than one level. So, at that time, what tools were available to the people at sea? Now, the Chinese had invented the compass years and years and years ago, so long before the English and the Spanish had it, but they too had a compass that had been developed. But what tools were available to the pirates, to the Spaniards, the English, the French? What did they have to make sure that they stayed on course or knew where they were going?
Well, the thing to keep in mind is that the compass is good for one thing. It'll basically show you direction. And the problem that you have back then when you're at sea is that it was very difficult to fix your location. And so what they really couldn't measure accurately was, the east-west. It wasn't until they came up with, later, an English inventor came up with a chronometer, I believe, and there was a big race. I think it's covered in one of the other books that I had read. But they had invented the ship's chronometer and other mechanisms to measure time and distance in a way that it could be more accurate. What the pirates relied on was they relied on an instrument where they would look at the position of the sun, principally during day.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that originally, when they looked at the sun, people that did that oftentimes, a navigator, could literally burn his eye out, burn out his retina. So they had to invent another thing called the backstaff, where you could look at your position with the sun and look at it in a way that it wouldn't damage your eye. But the real prize in those days was accurate maps. And accurate maps were really as valuable as gold to them, because the best maps were made in England and in Spain, because they're the ones that had really done a lot of the traveling by sea. Mm-hmm. And whenever the pirates showed up, they would either try to destroy the maps or throw them overboard rather than let the pirates have them.
Now, there was, and you mentioned a point in history in 1681, when Bartholomew Sharp got a book of maps from a Spanish vessel, and they were distributed to English seafaring captains, and that was invaluable. It's fascinating when you take a look at what went on in that period of time and where we are today. Here we've got GPS systems. So when you have a chance to go through a book like Caribbean Pirates that George has put together with these two wonderful artists, it's just amazing because it makes you aware of how we have evolved really within a relatively short period of time if you look at it comparing other points of history. You bring up a point regarding flintlock rifles, and what I found so intriguing about this section of the book is not only do you have pictures of the rifle, but you also have frames of film strip that actually show someone that is firing a rifle, and then they have to reload it. And you said it explains why the character in the Disney movie could get away, because it took Sir Cotton Pickin long to do that. I mean, you didn't have an automatic volley. You had to do all of this work. What is the time frame? What is the shortest amount of time that it can take for someone who's experienced? A novice just wouldn't be able to do this, but someone who's experienced at loading one of these long flintlocks, how long does it take to do it? How long would it take an experienced person to do that?
Well, if in the movie, for instance, it took the British, as far as I could tell, about 8 seconds, and all the research that I did, an experienced rifleman could do it in about 15 seconds.
Amazing.
But even at that, you know, you have to keep in mind that, that there's just so many things that can go wrong when you're trying to load something like this. The picture that you referred to, it's I actually took at the Jamestown Settlement in Williamsburg, Virginia, and they actually have reenactors using actual equipment. And she was loading, this woman was actually loading her flintlock rifle from start to finish, and that's what I took pictures of. And it took her about, I think about 20 seconds, because she sort of took her time a little bit to show everybody all the positions and how to hold the rifle and whatnot. But the problem is that even though, you know, it was a powerful weapon once it was fired, in combat on a ship, it was practically useless because you just didn't have time to reload. And that's why when they had the pistols, which were flintlocks, pirates often carried two or three or four, and it was a prized weapon because it was, you know, the best thing to do is be able to fight on a ship and stand off and hit your enemy without having to get in close. Because the closer you get, the greater the chances that you're going to get injured yourself in a hand-to-hand combat.
You talk about women pirates. Now, there were not an abundance of them, but there were some. And you have some wonderful stories about women pirates. You have fabulous photography in here on the ships that have been created dating back to that time frame, various museums. It is just such a beautifully, beautifully done book and so educational. You've got a dictionary of terms. You have illustrations. You have photos in here of how to find our way around a pirate ship. You even talk about pirate ship cruises. I didn't know such a thing existed.
Yeah, well, they actually do, and the nice thing is you really never have to walk the plank. One of the things that I wanted to do with the book is basically take the entire pirate subculture and say, here it is, here's what's true, here's what's not true. And if you want to learn a little bit more about being a pirate, then, you know, you need to learn how to talk like a pirate. You need to know how to look like a pirate. That's called piratitude. You need to go to some of these events where they actually have pirate reenactors and, you know, perhaps subscribe to a pirate magazine. And it's actually, for most families, just a great way to, you know, it's an alternative to the Renaissance fairs. And with the pirates, everybody can dress up and everybody can have fun and they can learn a few words and have a good time.
Yes, they can. There are museums also throughout the country. One of them is the Mariners Museum in Newport News, Virginia. And there is some spectacular exhibitions there. Wonderful, wonderful items. But as George said, there's just so much going on. And then you also go into the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland and Disney World. You give all kinds of information about a pirate casting call where they are looking for movie extras. You've even got a test for pirate IQ. This book is so much fun.
It has something for everyone, actually.
It really does. And then you even have a listing of books. So if someone's really interested in this subject or if they have a youngster in the family that's just fascinated with it, there's games, there's books, there's movies. You have all kinds of movies. Oh, yes, like The Princess and the Pirate. Yes, that I remember. I've watched that a number of times. There's so many. There's even a documentary, Real Pirates of the Caribbean, that was done in 2006, and there was a lot of good information there. So there's all these websites. Gracious, George, you've covered just about everything in this book.
Well, there's probably more information there than you can shake a cutlass at. But you mentioned the Mariners Museum. I wanted to point out that the Mariners Museum is in Newport News, Virginia, and it's for what I can tell, it is the best maritime museum in the United States. Anybody that's on the Eastern Seaboard and in Southeast Virginia should stop by the Mariners Museum because their holdings, their exhibits, is just uncanny. They helped me a lot with the book. They happened to have a pirate exhibit at the time I was working on the book, and I went there and photographed what I could, and their exhibit was very helpful. And I think a lot of people would be surprised how much fun museums have become, because they're no longer just these static displays anymore, but museums have become very interactive.
Yes, they
and,
have.
And Tim Kirk, who actually designed a science fiction exhibit museum up in Seattle for Paul Allen, keeps emphasizing the fact that museums are changing and mutating, and they're becoming simply more fun because kids are really requiring that. They want something where they can go in and touch things and feel things and see things move. They just don't want to look at something behind a piece of glass.
Absolutely. Now, George, if people want to know more about not just the Caribbean Pirates, I know you've got a website. Where can they go to investigate your website? Because this book, which is just appropriate, Caribbean Pirates, the movie's been so popular. This is a treasure chest of fact, fiction, and folklore. And believe me, it really is a treasure chest. It's totally enjoyable. Now, what's your website, George?
Well, there's two websites that I would recommend. My website is simply myname.com. So that's G-E-O-R-G-E-B as in boy, E-A-H-M.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I just sort of keep people updated on what I'm doing. But for people that really have been hooked by pirates, there's a wonderful, wonderful website. It's a real resource for me. I know the people that are involved in it, and I recommend it highly. And the website is called No Quarter Given, and I'm just trying to think of what the web address is per se. It's run by Christine Lamp and her husband Michael, and somebody could just go into Google and type No Quarter Given, and their website would pop up.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And these people are real pirate experts. I go in and research stuff and talk to experts, but these guys are the ones that actually train people that are interested in the pirate way of life and what it was really like. So they work with all the reenactors, and they have a little newsletter they put out every month or every couple of months.
And, hey, for those of you that are aspiring actors or actresses, there are even casting call information. George, I know we're almost out of time. It is absolutely delightful. Find out more about George Beam. His books are just awesome. GeorgeBeahm.com. And then the other website on pirates,
NoQuarterGiven.net.
NoQuarterGiven.net. Thank you so much, George. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. And let me give out the telephone number. It's 877-876-5227. For the U.S., for Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, we've got a caller on the line, but for those of you that want to come in, remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me give you information, and then after that, you can ask me a question about anything you like. It's that simple. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
And your first name or initial, sir?
Ken. Ken or Kenneth?
Ken. Okay, Ken. I'm watching in my mind, one, there is a relocation that will be coming up within the cycle of 2 to 3. When you choose to make this relocation, you're going to be really doing what you want to do. You're going to be relocating into an area that is really going to suit your needs, your lifestyle, everything that you're interested in. But in the immediate, what I am looking at is pay attention to the small details that need to be tended to. Don't miss out on taking care of those small details. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself feeling like you're under a lot of unnecessary pressure, and this is especially at the beginning of fall. So take care of the small stuff, because
okay,
it will make a difference for you and with the flow of conditions and circumstances in your life. Also, what I am looking at is I'm seeing you going through some files. And these might be just some old records. Don't be in a hurry when you're going through some of this material, because some of it you may not be wise in throwing out. So you want to be very thoughtful when you are doing what I'd call the declutter stuff. You want to be sure that you're very thoughtful about how you process what you do. And
okay,
if you need to set up new files, wonderful. Set up the new ones if you want. And then the old stuff, you know, just shred it or whatever you want to do with it and get rid of it. That's fine. But there are some things you're going to want to keep, because there is going to be something you're going to be writing about. And part of what you'll be writing about will, you'll be able to utilize some of this old material.
Okay.
And then once you do it, put it into the computer, no sweat. Then you'll be able to, if you want to shred it up and get rid of it, that's great. But I do think you're going to utilize it in a very special manner. Your life is really, really on the upswing and also changing quite a bit. You are really looking at how you can make some major changes before the first of 2009. So take care of the small things. They're just as important as the gigantic steps you envision in your mind. What would you like
okay
to ask me today?
Okay.
Okay, Ken, I can't hear you. You, if you're on a cell phone, you just faded out.
Oh, sorry about that. I want to thank you very much. That was a very good reading. How about my finances over the next month? You look okay?
Okay, your finances over what?
3 months.
Next 3 months, all right. The next 3 months, your finances are going to be real tight unless you are prudent. So if I could encourage you to be wise, it would be before you spend anything above and beyond basic necessities, ask yourself if you really, really need it. If the answer is no, put the money in the bank, put your credit card in your wallet, and move on. You
gotcha
are going to need to walk a fine line of balance during the next 3 months, actually during the next 9 months. So be wise here. You've got a lot of things to be grateful for. You should not feel impoverished. You just
okay
must be discriminating.
All right.
Okay?
Okay? Very good. Thank you so much, Donna.
Well, it's a pleasure, Ken. How did you learn about the show?
Well, I was calling in, and I just kind of like was listening to this radio station, and I was just calling in. And I have a friend who's up in the...
Okay, I lost you again.
I was listening to someone. I listened to someone who's on in the morning, and I heard about you too. So I just called in.
Well, how gracious of you! Thank you so much. And you know what? They've got my archives up now. We're almost finished with putting the archives of the shows up. So if you wanted to catch up with any of my previous shows, you're going to be able to do that.
All right. Very good.
All right, sir. You have a good day, and thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in like Ken did and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227 in the U.S. That's 877-876-5227. Also, for Canadians, 888-815-9756. I know we've got another caller. I'll be getting right to you. 888-815-9756 and then 530-876-3222. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Fresno, California. My name is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. So you're in Fresno. Is it beginning to percolate down there? I have memories of Fresno with temperatures that would make your hair dry in like 30 seconds after you washed it.
It's incredibly sizzling.
I thought so. Oh, my goodness. All right. What I'm looking at for you, hon, is quite a bit of hard work. Now, when I say that, don't moan and groan. Be grateful for it, because you have made some major breakthroughs, and you need to follow up with the work that's necessary. And you are really becoming more efficient at saying no to what is not appropriate for you to invest your time with. And you are sort of pulling back from being, let's say, a volunteer for just about anything and everything, and you're going, is this really where I want to be, or what do I need to take care of first? Prioritizing, I believe, is one of the biggest accomplishments that you are achieving this year. And it's not just that you can prioritize. It is the way you prioritize that is making the difference. And that, I think, for you, is quite significant, because you typically would put other people or other situations ahead of what you should be focused on primarily. Everything and everybody else would come before what your needs were. Well, over the past 2 years, you've been gradually shifting, and I think this year you are making the shift in a big way. So congratulations. Keep on track, because it's going to enable you to feel not only a sense of accomplishment relative to your own education and an upgrade into a career venue that means a lot to you, but it's also going to show you how very much more efficient and effective you can be with your life, and I think that's quite significant. What's your question for me today?
Well, as the previous caller was asking about finances, that's what I am wanting to ask about, and I was wondering if you picked anything up within the next couple of months on finances and the increase of that.
Finances to me are like a straight line. It's like nothing major coming in with an increase and nothing being taken away. So there looks like there's a level of stability with you. When you ask me about finances, I would want to come back with a question of why are you concerned? Because there's this stability that I see around you. Now, if you're wanting to get into investing, if you're wanting to work with money in a way that it's going to compound for you over a period of time, I'd encourage you to get some education regarding the various ways you can utilize money. Because if you find a venue that you really like and that you're comfortable with, then I'd say you'd see yourself in a much better financial positioning in 5 years. But that's going to be up to you. That's going to be a choice that you'll make. But I don't see at this moment a gigantic increase in money. No, I do not. But I see stability.
Okay. Well, I'll just continue to work on that.
Good. Because a little bit. Remember, hon, the effect of compounding can make a tremendous difference within a very, very short period of time.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, and I appreciate your call, and stay cool there in Fresno.
Thank you. You too. Thank
okay there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and I want to remind you, just around the corner, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And for those of you who are listening in Washington, I do hope you will mark one weekend, maybe all three of the weekends, and come on out and participate in one of the most wonderful events It's put on just one time a year. I've been involved with them for years. I love this because, as you know, if you've been listening to me, I just love to get dressed up in costume for this time period. And it's fantasy. You're going to see all kinds of things, all kinds of costumes and characters. What happens on that day? Well, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th, you will enter into this magical world that has been created by hundreds of people for your pleasure. You will encounter merchants. You'll see them create their wares right there on site. You can go in getting costume yourself. You can be a bag lady, so to speak, if you want, or a king. You can dress appropriately. We have people that provide costumes so you can be in the scene, in the field yourself. If you want to come in costume, you can do that too. We have hundreds of people that just love to come out and parade their costumes, and this is something they do every year. We have people from all over the country to come in to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair because it has become an event where tens of thousands of people come out to it every year because it is so much fun. Music, dancing, a humongous chessboard is laid out on the ground, so people are, it's actually a living chessboard game. There's children's games, opportunities for all kinds of interaction with wonderful, wonderful people, fabulous food, Renaissance style, but believe me, it's our time, good food. So it is just absolutely wonderful. So don't forget the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first three weekends in August. My booth will be on Main Street. Look for the bright golden banners with the big red lions. Go to their website, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. This is held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. We've got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Melbourne Village.
Melbourne Village. Where is that?
In Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah, it's around Melbourne, which is like on the coast beside Orlando.
Great. And first name or initial, please?
I'm Mike.
Hi, Mike. Now, Mike, we're going to be going to break in about a minute, so don't hang up. We'll pick you up and we'll continue. Okay? Now, Mike, what I am looking at right now is a contract. I feel like there are some fine points in this written agreement you need to be aware of. It seems to involve a sum of money, but you're very, very alert to it. So I'm wondering if maybe it's a lease, like a lease of a, for a vehicle or something like this, because it's not a huge amount of money. And when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing you thinking, is this really what I want to do? If it's going to be for a short term, it's going to be fine. If it's going to be for a longer term, you need to rethink it because your dollars are not going to benefit you the way that you would like for it to, whatever this is related to. It could be a car, it could be something else. Also, what I'm looking at is some upcoming travel. Now, I know we're going to be taking a break here for just a minute. Mike, would you stay with us?
Yes, please.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment with Mike in Melbourne Village, Florida. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back momentarily.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we're talking with Mike in Melbourne Village, Florida. Mike, I also want to add that I want you to be alert when you're traveling because I'm seeing a lot of the travel being done by automobile. Be very conscientious about your computer or anything of value you might have. be thoughtful what you pack and make sure that you're just not going to dump it and, you know, leave it out in the open where it's going to be subject either to extreme heat, but also to someone else seeing it and maybe taking it. And I'm seeing you sometimes having a habit of leaving stuff on a table, like if you were in a restaurant, going up and paying for something and then coming back. Don't do that. Yeah, and I know you can be trusting, but I want you to be consciously attuned. For some reason, there's a potential theft of some items that you have that could occur, and I'm not saying this to make you fearful. I'm just saying be alert. You don't need to be a victim here. What question do you have for me, Mike?
I'm just trying to figure out why everything is going wrong right now. I've been arguing with being connected on the Internet for, like, 5 weeks. And something's getting in the way. It's, like, very weird. When I tried to hook up with VBS today, I got onto Guini's website and never accessed. She's a witch in Chicago. I've never accessed her website.
Well, things
just
like
VBS, and all of a sudden I was on her website. Now, things are going weird on the computer.
Well,
I did, by the way, but just buy a new portable computer because my old one is about to go down the drain.
Well, Mike, I'm going to have to make this short.
I did get a property protection policy on it that cost all my...
Okay, I hear something gone. It looks like we've lost the caller. All right, so let me just say with Mike, if you're listening on the computer, something happened there. And it could just be a transmission problem. Sometimes there are energy surges that go through equipment, and they're because of weather, thunder and lightning, and if you're in Florida, there can be all kinds of atmospheric conditions. So things like that can occur. This is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to just give out the phone number again, 877-876-5227, Canadian 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. I want to thank you so much for the wonderful stories you have been sending me. So many of you have been so nice sending stories and recipes and all kinds of good things. This is a touching, touching story that I wanted to let you know about. It's titled Stand Tall Like the Sunflower. And the author of this story is Tony Massilio. And I really like this. This is a person that, in my mind's view, pays attention to really what's going on around them and sort of takes in the lessons of life from their observations, which I know many of you do, and I do the same thing. So it really touches me. He said, sometimes the most mundane occurrences can really have an impact on how we think, on our awareness. He said his wife and daughter and himself moved into a home 9 years ago, and they spend a lot of time and energy in their yard because they just love to do yard work, number one, but they really like it to look nice. And they live on a corner higher than street level, and he said the entire side of the yard is encased by a professionally built rock wall. And the front of the house, he said, is another story because instead of a wall along the sidewalk, the rocks appear to be just thrown up onto the dirt as if someone were in a hurry to just finish everything. So he said, we did the best we could with what we had to work with and called this area our rock garden. Whenever we had leftover flowers or plants, he said, my wife and I would stick them out front just to bring some color to that particular area that was otherwise sort of bland looking. Now, he still does all of his own yard work, even the weed pulling, and he said he puts on his knee pads, and he said, I assume the position to clear the yard of weeds, even in the rock garden. And he said, last summer I'd reached the end of the rock garden and found a tiny little that I couldn't immediately identify. So we've got a caller. I'm going to pause right there, and then we'll finish the rest of the story in a while. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
This is Michael again. We got disconnected. That's typical of my life.
Okay, Mike, what I want to do, because I don't have much time before the end of the show, can you ask your question quickly?
Okay, I think something's interfering with me. Do you have a hint as to what it is?
I really don't think that much is interfering with you, Mike. I think what it is, to a degree, is you're overreacting to it. I'd say relax a little bit, just do whatever you need to do, and when it comes to your equipment, and you probably didn't hear it because something cut out, it could be that you might be having electrical surges in your area that you're not aware of. So,
well, actually, I have surge protectors on my equipment, and my phone, you know, that's a good speculation. And doing a technical diagnosis on it is doesn't work because I'm not someone who likes to deal with technicalities, but I'm a lawyer, and I'm a trial lawyer, and I'm very good at checking things out and understanding other protocols.
Well, I understand that, Michael, but I'll tell you something. When it comes to dealing with various aspects of energy, there are just so many things that can affect equipment because I know that that is what has happened with me many, many times, and I live on the opposite side of the country from you.
You know, I'm an energy healer, so this, of course, could very easily happen to me.
Absolutely. So there's all kinds of things that can cause technical interference. Michael, I am going to have to go.
Okay. Well, I'll keep struggling on it.
You don't need to struggle. Just relax and just...
No, I'm working on that. I was autistic and dyslexic and with Asperger's syndrome ever since I was a kid, and so my body tends to tense up, and I need to learn how to relax it. And I haven't figured quite out how. I'm getting better at it, but I haven't figured it out yet, and my backbone is releasing, which is good.
Yes, it is good. Michael,
okay,
I'm going to have to go.
And that's one of the major problems with autism.
Bye-bye, Michael. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're almost out of time here, and you know what? I think I'm going to talk about this sunflower story. We might finish it tomorrow. Also, I want to remind those of you that I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and I want to encourage you to be sure to go to their website, find out what the costs are. They have these fabulous discounts for families, pulling your neighbors, take your kids, whoever. This is an opportunity to have a wonderful time and to step back into history and just let go of the cell phones, the pressure points, of all the discomforts in everyday life. So that's 3 weekends in August, and it's going to be at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. Go to their website, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, Donna.
Hi, hon. We've only got about a minute and a half. Where are you calling from and your first name or initial?
I'm calling from Tacoma, and my name is Kim.
Okay, now, Kim, I don't have a lot of time, dear, left before we're going to be finished for the day, so this is going to be fast. Kim, what I'm looking at right off the bat is someone is wanting to pull you in to their personal environment. I want you to be, they've got some discord, something on a very personal level. Be very thoughtful, and if I were you, I'd be very, very cautious because there are some extenuating circumstances here, and you do not want to put yourself into a position of making statements where they're going to say, gee whiz, because you said this didn't turn out, and so you don't want to end up being a scapegoat. What you want to do maybe is be a real good listener, be empathetic. If they ask for suggestions, say, these are just suggestions, you can use them or not, and let them work through it, because this person has got so much confusion. I feel like I'm looking at circles going a mile a minute around their head. So they're not thinking straight, they're not thinking clearly. And in a way, I'm wondering if this person might be on some medications, too, and that concerns me, because their thinking isn't clear. So I want you to be aware. Also, take care of yourself, honey. You've been getting real, real tired. Tim, do you have a quick question for me? We're almost out of time.
Well, I'm contemplating a move. Do you see that going well?
I'm not seeing a move real, real fast, like in the next 2 weeks. I would say you've got some challenges with this move. You need to really think through certain particulars. Otherwise, you're going to end up with, I think, extra financial costs that should not be there, and you're going to have a very high stress level with it. So work out all of the particulars. And they do it in advance of making the move. Assume nothing. Then
okay.
I think it'll go okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kim. Sorry I have to cut it so short, hon, but we're out of time.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and gee whiz, we are out of time. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how Prince Charming isn't coming. Hey, gals, you're not going to want to miss this. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day, and we will be back with you same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, this is Andy Dooley, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
Ain't nobody's business if I do it all day. Oh.